Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
We go with the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a brand new one up there tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're over at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. Don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? Yeah, so as Dan is catching up with the news, I'm sure a lot of you have heard by now, but former Philly and Blue Jay pitcher Roy Halladay passed away today. He was, if I understood, piloting a plane that he owned, and he crashed into the Gulf of Mexico off the Florida coast. He was the only one in the plane. He was the only fatality. But yeah, just 40 years old, Dan. Now, you know, he hasn't played since 2013, but there were, I think the Baseball Network, the MLB Network, was just kind of running a recap on him. And they actually had some guys who had played with him during his career who are analysts there. So they had a nice little retrospect on him. You know, he had quite a career, and I'm sure, I don't know if he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's definitely going to get in. He was 203-105 in his career with a 3.38 ERA. He won two Cy Youngs. I read that he was one of 18 guys to do that, but he was one of just six guys to win one in each league. He won one with the Blue Jays in 2003, and he won his other one with the Phillies in 2010. So he had two 20-game win seasons and two 19-game win seasons. 67 career complete games. You won't hear that number out of anybody anymore. And if I remember correctly, Dan, maybe you can help me out. It was a playoff no-hitter, I believe that he threw. I don't think it was a World Series no-hitter, but he threw a playoff no-hitter against somebody. I just don't remember who it was. Obviously, you know, that's a huge deal because, you know, you don't get, you know, any of them at all. But, you know, kind of sad, crappy way to start the day. You know, I just woke up from my, you know, my wonderful nap, and it was like, oh, hey, this happened. I was like, oh, great. This is just wonderful. It looks like that no-hitter was against Cincinnati in the 2010 playoffs. So, but he definitely, that's a Hall of Fame resume, right? I mean, even though he's just a 200 win guy for a starter, he did enough to get in.
Oh yeah. I would say, when he don't get in, who did he go under?
Yeah. Well, I would think he spent 12 years with the Blue Jays. Do you think he goes in as a Blue Jay? They do have it here, Dan. His career WAR is 65.6. So, but yeah, just one of those, you know, odd sports days when you kind of, you know, that's like the first thing that pops up on your screen. I sat down and, you know, that was it. It was like, oh, here, this happened. And then when, you know, and it was weird because like when they first reported it, well, they, you know, they just had it as plane crash because they didn't, you know, apparently they didn't know the details or, you know, however they had it. And it was like, hey, was it like, you know, what kind of plane crash are we talking here? And it took them quite a while before they managed to, you know, explain that it was his plane. He owned it. He had a pilot's license. And yeah, it, you know, it went down in the Gulf of Mexico. So, you know, sad stuff. But let's move on to a little more, I don't even know if you want to call it positive, but a little more baseball news here. There were 9 qualifying offers handed out today. To no surprise, the Cubs gave Jake Arrieta and Wade Davis qualifying offers. The Royals gave Lorenzo Cain, Eric Hosmer, and Mike Moustakas offers. Alex Cobb got one from the Rays. Greg Holland got one from the Rockies. Lance Lynn got one from the Cardinals. And Carlos Santana got one from the Indians. You know, I know we looked into this. I know we talked about it. It's no longer a first-round draft pick, Dan, but what do teams have to give up now?
Oh, what year? 18. I have to go back to that. I didn't remember.
But yeah, there. Yeah, you know, a little bit surprising. There were, you know, they're reporting that the Reds aren't going to give Zach Cozart the qualifier, and it doesn't look like Andrew Cashner of the Rangers or Logan Morrison of the Rays are going to get the qualifier either. I know it's right around. I think I saw it's going to be $17.4 million. So, yeah, here it is. Yeah, I think that's actually a little lower than last year. I think last year it was in the 18s. So, it's, you know, again, it's not a horrible thing, but you got to figure, you know, guys like, well, just about all the guys on that list are probably going to get more than $17.4 million from somebody, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, we'll have to see how it shakes out. But, you know, this way teams kind of cover themselves and they, you know, they can get something in return if they, you know, if they lose their guy or however it works out. So I was trying to think. I know I saw the Dodgers exercise their contract option on Logan Forsythe. So they're going to keep him around another year. But I saw, you know, our guy here, Wellington Castillo, is going to go on the free agent market. He declined his player option with the Orioles. You know, it was supposed to be for, you know, for $7 million. I know there aren't a ton of catchers out there on the market. So he might do okay. He had a decent year. I know injuries cut him to only 96 games, but he still hit 20 bombs and he hit .282. You know, with as thin as catching is, you got to figure somebody's going to look at him as a starter, right?
Most likely. I mean, why wouldn't they?
So, you know, that should be another one of those guys we'll see. I don't know. You know, I only caught the end of the Alex Cora press conference. He was officially introduced as a the Red Sox manager today, but I don't believe he said anything that, you know, you wouldn't expect him to say. It was all kind of, you know, what do they say? It's the regular, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to do that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see how all that works out, but, you know, just some of the more baseball stuff that, you know, kind of popped up. And, you know, I don't think, let me double check here and see if I missed a, you know, another baseball headline anywhere while I was paying attention to everything else. So, no, it just looks, well, you know, I know we didn't talk about this yesterday, but I know I saw the Cardinals cut Trevor Rosenthal. So I, you know, he'll definitely get a contract offer from somebody. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cubs take a look at him because they may need a closer as, you know, things roll in. So he may be a possible option, you know, as that opens up. But we'll have to, you know, have to see how it goes. I know I was talking a little bit. I heard that, there were some, you know, people upset that Mike Trout didn't get the nomination for MVP this year in the American League. You know, I got to tell you, Dan, I'm really not surprised. You know, he had quite a few injuries. Well, not quite a few, but he had one. And, you know, it caused him to miss a number of games. I think he only played 114 games. You know, it seemed all right with me. You know, I mean, what was kind of your take on it? Were you as upset, or did you think he was deserving, or?
No, I mean, just because he's the market boy for the league doesn't mean he automatically guaranteed it.
Yeah, it was, you know, like I said, it was just kind of odd the way they, you know, they literally reacted like, you know, this award was stolen from him. So, but I do have the finalists here. I can tell you who's who. This is kind of interesting because I don't know if I was thinking any of these three guys were going to win it. But for the NL MVP, we have Joey Votto, Giancarlo Stanton, and Paul Goldschmidt. Kind of interesting. Who you got there? Off the top of your head, who wins that award?
Goldschmidt.
So, and then in the AL, Aaron Judge made the cut for MVP along with Jose Ramirez and Jose Altuve. It's just a straight crime if Altuve doesn't win it this year, right?
Yeah, but you know they haven't had a Rookie of the Year MVP since each year on 1-1.
So, all right. Well, you know the Cy Young finalists in the National League. We have two guys from Washington. We have Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg, both nominated. But they're going up against Clayton Kershaw. Does Kershaw beat them both, or does Scherzer win back to back? Because he won last year, even though I think Lester deserved it.
No, Kershaw wins.
So. All right, over in the AL, no surprise, Luis Severino got nominated, even though he had some issues in the playoffs. That doesn't count for this. Then it's Chris Sale and Corey Kluber. This is a little tighter. I think it's between Sale or Kluber, but does Sale finally get one after leaving the White Sox?
I would like to see that. I think it goes to Kluber.
Yeah. All right, the NL MVP, we're looking at Cody Bellinger, Josh Bell, and Paul DeJong. This is clearly Bellinger's, right? I mean, I know he another guy who had a tough playoff run there, or a World Series run, but that doesn't affect this. He was the best NL rookie, right?
Yeah, hands down.
And then in the AL, we got Trey Mancini, Andrew Benintendi, and then Aaron Judge. I know Benintendi and Mancini had good years, but they're giving this to Judge regardless, right?
Oh, yeah, how can you do that?
So, and then for Manager of the Year, hey, no Joe Maddon this year. We got Bud Black of the Rockies, Torrey Lovello of the Diamondbacks, and Dave Roberts, of course, of the Dodgers. You know, that's an interesting category, three playoff teams. Who gets the nod there? Are you giving it to Roberts?
Yeah, I'm giving it to Roberts.
So, and then the last one they have listed, AL Manager of the Year, we got Terry Francona, Paul Molitor, and then A.J. Hinch. You know, does Hinch get it, even though I think Molitor might deserve it for what he did with the Twins?
I think Hinch gets it, but like you said, I think it should go to Molitor.
Yeah, that could be an interesting one. I mean, we'll have to see how the voting goes. I know they do the thing on MLB Network where they hand out an award daily. I didn't see. Did you see the days for that by any chance yet? When they're going to start doing that?
No, I actually had it up on my app and I switched over to the TVA, and when I came back, I couldn't find it.
So, all right. Well, I thought this was. I don't know if we want to call this humorous or foreshadowing or how you would like to describe this, Dan, but, you know, we we pretty much wrapped up the show yesterday with it, you know, a relatively interesting discussion about the Ball family. Now, I don't know if you caught this article yet, but the UCLA Bruins opened their season Friday against Georgia Tech in Shanghai. It's just something, you know, the NCAA wants to expand the game like the NBA does. Well, apparently last night, three UCLA men's basketball players were arrested for shoplifting. And Dan, one of them was LiAngelo Ball.
No, it ain't so.
Yeah. So, some that said they were being questioned about stealing from a Louis Vuitton store that just happens to be located next to where the team is staying, next to the team hotel. I'm under the impression that one way or the other, these guys probably won't be playing Friday, but not a good start to his UCLA career, huh?
It's a conspiracy.
Yeah, they're out to get him. They're setting him up to make sure he fails. Oddly now, I did notice I haven't seen a statement from Daddy yet. I kind of thought that's what we would get from Dad, is he would come out and say, you know, it's all false and, you know, it's a setup, kind of like you just did jokingly. We have not heard that yet, so it'll be it'll be fun to see how the thing kind of rolls out here. The other two players, not to just kind of lay it all on LiAngelo, were a couple guys. One is named Cody Riley, and the other one is Jalen Hill, were the three players arrested. And again, they're just being looked into for shoplifting. I don't know how much bigger of an offense that is in China than it is here, or maybe it's not. So we'll have to kind of wait and see, but not the banner day for LiAngelo there and then the Ball family. I'm looking to see if they have anything about it. They do say that they sent 20 police officers to the hotel to make the arrest. So that's a bit of an overkill, I think, but hey, it's whatever works for you. So
I was going to make a bad joke, but I'll just leave it alone.
Yeah. So yeah, there, you know, that's Dan and mine college. That's our college basketball report for the day. Cause you know, let's face it, we don't really watch or know much about it anyways, but that's how it goes for us. Luckily for me, though, Dan, moving on to NBA basketball, the damn Phoenix Suns finally traded Eric Bledsoe, so I can possibly get some fantasy use out of the damn guy. He did end up going to Milwaukee. Now, there were all kinds of goofy deals that they said were going to happen and how it was going to work out and what Phoenix was asking for. What they ended up getting was center Greg Monroe, a 2018 protected first-round draft pick, and a 2018 protected second-round draft pick. So Milwaukee basically gave away its entire draft next year, along with a backup center to get Eric Bledsoe. So, if he can contribute, it's a good move for Milwaukee, isn't it? I mean, he's a good point guard, and it can kind of keep, you know, Giannis away from having to handle the ball so much, right?
Yeah, and you've got to wonder if their scouts were looking at next year's draft and maybe not being so high on it. I think you can get away with giving away 1 year, but if you start pushing into 19, that becomes an issue.
Yeah, you know what I mean. I know the picks are protected, but Milwaukee's not going to be a lottery team, so I don't think that really even affects the you know, the deal. It's just a, you know, a matter of covering their you know what, but you know, we'll have to see. I know, you know, Milwaukee had been scuffling as it was. You know, I thought I saw, let me see if they had it here. Was it three in a row they lost? Yeah, they lost three straight and four in their last five. The Bucks do play tonight, but Bledsoe isn't expected to play. It looks like his first game may be tomorrow against San Antonio. Or no, it's not that game. The game's not on Wednesday. That's just when he's supposed to meet the team. So, but yeah, it looks like tonight they're playing Cleveland. I got to double check the damn schedule before I get ahead of myself here. Yeah, it's Milwaukee at Cleveland. The game's actually on NBA TV. So yeah, he's not playing tonight, so I'm not getting anything out of him tonight, Dan. But it looks like their next game after that, yeah, they're in San Antonio on Friday. So I can finally get some stats out of them then, because I think he's played maybe one game this year, if that. And I had kind of high hopes for him. And I'm at the point, I don't know if you're at the point with your team here, but I have two guys on the injured list, and then I got three other guys who are hurt, and they're not playing full-time. So my team is like the walking wounded already, and we're 10 games into the damn season. So
there's only 16 teams, so you can get away with finding guys on the wire.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've been going out and swapping guys in and, you know, putting guys on my injury list and all that fun stuff. But, you know, it's just like, really, it's this early in the year. You know what I mean? Some of the guys, you know, like John Wall is one of my guys who's, you know, dinged up. It's like, I'm not going to cut John Wall to put somebody else in the lineup. You know, I mean, if he doesn't play one night, I've just got to eat the zeros because I'm not, you know, I'm not stupid enough to cut him. So.
Well, I've got Holiday from the Bulls if you want to trade.
Yeah, no, I'm okay. I made my lovely, you know, changes and set everything up, and we'll see how it goes. But it would just be nice if I could, you know, could get healthy here. Just, you know, bad draw, I guess, for me at the start of the year. I just happened to get all the guys who were dinged up. It's just too bad I didn't have Kawhi Leonard. So, you know, and then, you know, I didn't see this one, but apparently the NBA announced today that they fined Dwight Howard $25,000 for a obscene gesture he made Sunday in the Hornets game against the Timberwolves in Minnesota. So I don't know what he did, but it's going to cost him $25,000.
Yeah, he's got it.
Yeah, you know, all the money he's made over the years, it's not like, you know, that's too much better. But I did finally remember yesterday I was talking to you about the idiot who tried to compare years. You know, LeBron had played 15 years and Jordan and Magic had played 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, finally, somebody was smart enough to do it via game. You know, LeBron has played 1,072 NBA games, and they matched him up to where Michael was at 1,072 NBA games. You know, Michael was 6-0 in the finals, where LeBron is 3-5. LeBron has played, you know, more playoff games, 217 to 179, but that was, you know, a little different. The series weren't as long. Michael had been in 14 All-Star games and won 3 MVPs. LeBron's been to 13 and won 2. Michael has 2 gold medals. LeBron has a gold and 2 golds and a bronze. And then career rank, Michael is number 1 at what they have at 27.91, and LeBron is at 27.65. So let me find out who this guy was, because I didn't remember who the other was. Is their name attached somewhere?
Can you really add in the gold medal, seeing as it wasn't offered the entire career of Michael Jordan, where it was for LeBron?
Yeah, you know, I think it was just kind of something they were looking to throw in, you know, how it kind of worked out. But, you know, like they have regular season only stats, you know, like Michael's outscored him by almost 3,000 points. LeBron is, you know, a little better in rebounds and assists. Michael has steals in 50-point games. Michael had 20 more 50-point games than LeBron did at this point. But LeBron has double the triple-double. Michael had 28, LeBron had 56. So I you know, I, like I said, I give them credit for doing it this way because this makes a whole lot more sense than, you know, the way the other idiot tried to do it. And again, I don't know who, you know, who or what, you know, they were. But what's interesting here is they actually compare who had the most number one overall picks as teammates. And I did not realize this, but, you know, Jordan only played with one guy who was the number one overall pick in the draft, and that was Kwame Brown, who was a huge bust. Where LeBron has actually played with six guys who were the number one overall pick. Joe Smith, who wasn't very good. Shaquille O'Neal, obviously, you know, a Hall of Famer. Greg Oden was a bust. Kyrie Irving's a pretty good player. Andrew Bogut is, you know, he's a passable big man. And then we have to count Derrick Rose on his team this year. So,
I mean, that's a cool thing to add into there, but that holds no weight whatsoever.
No, you know, I think it's more interesting than anything.
Yeah.
You know, how that kind of sets up with, you know, because it's weird that, you know, LeBron being the great player he is, you wouldn't have thought that he had ended up with so many, you know, former number ones as his teammates. But, you know, in the NBA today, you know, guys really pick and choose more of where they're going to go than they used to. You know, and back then it wasn't the buddy-buddy league. Guys didn't really chase championships like they do now. You know, I mean, I've mentioned it here before. They wanted to you know, they wanted to beat the other guy. They didn't want to be on the same team with him. And, you know, nowadays they're just as happy to go along and, hey, I'll go play here and win a title. And, you know, it doesn't matter because it'll look good because I'll have a ring and join my, you know, my friend here. So,
yeah, I mean, but honestly, wouldn't you say Jordan was probably the only one who didn't do that? Because for all the guys who speak out against it, you know, Charles, even Scotty, they all got together eventually. You know, where Jordan wanted to be part of, you know, wanted more than just the player aspect, and that's how he landed in Washington.
Yeah, well, you know, Kobe never really chased it. You know, he stayed with the Lakers. They brought Shaq in to play with him. You know, so that was more Shaq coming here. But, you know, when you go back, the guys from Michael's era, you know, Magic didn't chase. He was a Laker. Bird was a Celtic. You know, they were the best players in the game then. And, you know, they stayed there. You know, like, you know, we saw LeBron run off to Miami. You know, I mean, you can just kind of look around with, you know, guys doing it. Like, the first two guys I really remember doing it were Karl Malone and Gary Payton at the end of their career signed with the Lakers for like the minimum at the time. It was like $1 million or $2 million. And I believe they lost to the Bulls in the finals with, you know, a Michael Jordan Bulls team. So they were trying to chase a championship and it just, you know, it didn't work out. I mean, you mentioned Barkley, you know, he went a couple places to try to win one and he never got one.
Yeah. I mean, with the whole Karl Malone and the Lakers, yeah, you're chasing the championship. Wasn't what's his name on that team too? The white guy, the 3-point shooter, Steve Nash, was he on that team too, or did he come to the Lakers after that?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if he was there yet. That may have been a little before Nash showed up there. Let me see if I can hunt it down real quick here on.
But do you think it had anything to do with you know, not only chasing the championship, but wanting to fight, get together with a team to beat Jordan. You think that kind of played into it a little bit?
Yeah, you know, well, you know, he had those couple shots with Utah, and, you know, it just didn't work out. They weren't quite good enough. Those things happen, and yeah, maybe it was, you know, one of those things where that's what they wanted. They wanted to, they wanted to try to beat Jordan, maybe they just wanted maybe he just wanted a title on his resume. You know, he wanted say he was a world champion. So let's see what we got here. Is this the right one? Ooh. 0405. Do I need 0405 or 0304? Is Malone on this team? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. Yeah, no, I'm a year ahead. Damn it. I missed it by a year. So let's go back a year. That was Kobe Bryant was on the 0405 team. So, yeah, here it is. Yeah, Karl Malone was with Kobe was on this team, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no Steve Nash. So Luke Walton was on the team, though.
Oh, hey, there you go. Now he's coaching.
So, you know, that's, one of those things that worked out. But, yeah, Kobe was 25. He was their leading scorer at 18.1 points a game. So.
Oh, and at that point, he'd already been in the league for 6 years, right?
Yeah, six or seven. Yeah, you know, because he came in as an 18-year-old as well. So, but yeah, Shaq was on this team making $24 million. But yeah, it doesn't say who they come, because I'm thinking now they didn't get a. They didn't lose to Jordan. They must have lost to somebody else here. They lost to the Pistons.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, they got beat 4-1 by Detroit. They won game two in overtime and lost the other four. So that was it for Malone. He retired after that year. So, you know, he went to the finals, you know, what, two or three straight years in a row there. But he just never
panned out.
You know, never got himself home, never got the big win there. But, you know, I mean, obviously he was still a Hall of Famer and, you know, all that other fun stuff. So, but, yeah, he was the first. Him and Gary Payton were the first guy I remember doing it. You know, maybe there were some other ones before, but.
Well, you know, not to poke fun at you because it's your favorite city you've never been to, but the Supersonics weren't doing anything, were they, when after that time period with Peyton being there for so long?
Yeah, you know, they were pretty much done. I think they, they had a run. I think they won a title, if I remember correctly. But you know, yeah, there wasn't a whole lot left there in 2004-2005. You know, that before they ran off to Oklahoma City. So
now I got a stupid question for you, and I guess this would be more of an opinion because I know you don't have the facts on this one. But I know Silver's talked, what do you call it? He's talked about expansion and, of course, bringing the team back to the Super to Seattle, being the Supersonics. Now, if they were to get their team back, would it be worked out to where they can grab their history back, or does that stay with Oklahoma?
Yeah, you know, that would be interesting. Nobody's brought that up yet. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the team you know, coming back to Seattle, I don't know if they would be the Supersonics. You would think they would be, but, you know, who knows? Maybe they have another, you know, another name in mind. You know, you never know, you know, what they've got going on there. But it would be, you know, it would be kind of interesting because I'm trying to remember when the Ravens left. Yeah, when the Ravens left, did the Browns keep the history? I don't remember. But I know that was brought up then.
I think that was one of the situations. I think we discussed that before, to be honest with you. I think the Ravens became their own team once they moved to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Cleveland was able to keep, you know, the quote history. But, you know, like, it worked in hockey, or they worked around it in hockey with the North Stars moving south to just become the Stars, which I guess works with the Cowboys since they have the star in their logo. You know, and then, you know, obviously the Wild became their own team, kind of a standalone, which I still think is stupid. They should be the North Stars, damn it. But, you know, I wonder that, and I also wonder if that – I know it's not an issue per se, but you've got to imagine that's got to be something along with, you know, trying to bring Montreal back. You know, they have got the Montreal Expos project, those guys up there are trying to get in to Major League Baseball again. And I don't know what the delay is. I mean, you know, Manfred keeps talking about, oh, well, we got to fix the situation in Oakland. And there's another city that has crap for, you know, attendance and draw and everything. But, you know, a team in Montreal has absolutely no effect on the Oakland A's, seeing as they're completely across the country and the country's line. So, it just makes it – I'm curious to wonder if, you know, if the Expos were to get a team back, you know, would the Nationals lose their, quote, history and just kind of start from – you know, it feels like a lot longer than, I believe, what was it, 2010 or 11 that they started in Washington?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I would think, I don't know about you, but, like, if I was buying, you know, into a franchise, or I was buying a franchise like this, I would want that history. You know, I would want to be able to take the Supersonics and, you know, use the guys like Jack Sigma and, you know, those kind of guys who go back. Yeah, you know, who go back in the history, you know, Freddie Brown, you know, Lenny Wilkins, you know, those kind of guys. I would want to, you know, I would want them as part of my team and, you know, my whole shtick. So, I would definitely think. You know, that you would do that or they would do that. I mean, who knows, but. You know, I mean, wouldn't you want it? I mean, if you were spending all that money on a team, wouldn't you want the history that goes with it?
You know, that's part of why I brought it up. You know, I know it skews things a little bit with, like, Oklahoma. Because technically, I guess it doesn't matter since he doesn't play there anymore, but Durant was a Supersonics number one draft pick, technically.
Yeah. You know, because, I mean, you know, if you think about it, I mean, what are the Montreal Expos without, you know, Andre Dawson and Tim Raines?
Well, and that 94 team, Tim Walker, Gary Guy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously – you know, Gary Carter. I mean, there's a lot of history. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of history when it comes to a team like, you know, the Expos or, you know, the Supersonics or even the Browns, you know, had a, you know, a fantastic history with, you know, guys like Jim Brown and, you know, those kind of people. So, yeah, you would think, you know, I think I would want it. But, yeah, we'll have to see how it's addressed or if it's addressed or, you know, what they would actually do with it. So, But yeah, I did notice we have a decent amount of NBA games tonight. I mentioned Milwaukee's at Cleveland. You got New Orleans at Indiana, Dallas at Washington, Charlotte at New York. The Bulls are in Toronto, Dan. We can watch that. The Clippers in San Antonio, Brooklyn at Denver, Philly at Utah, Memphis and Portland. And then the Milwaukee-Cleveland game's on NBA TV. The other game on NBA TV is the 9 o'clock game. It's Oklahoma City at Sacramento. So if you're up watching NBA TV, you got a couple games you can pick up there.
Sadly, I didn't pay the extra $5.
Oh, for NBA TV?
Well, you get the NFL Network with all the packages, which I never watch, and they never show any games on. But, they don't add in the NHL Network, NBA Network, or the MLB Network. But, the flip side is you get the NBC Sports Network, I do, and they play a majority of the hockey games. So.
Well, see, now, to be fair, the NFL Network does have the Thursday night games, so you can watch them over there. But, we have the pack now where I get the NFL Network, I get the MLB Network, and I get the NBA Network. For some reason, the NHL is the only one I don't get. I don't know how it kind of worked out that way or how they got kind of black sheeped or blacklisted or blacked whatever there. But, yeah, it was just kind of like, oh, okay, we're going to give you everyone but this one. Like, oh, okay, thanks. So, I was like, this doesn't make a lot of sense. But, okay, let's see what. See what we do here. And of course, then I think there was something on there that I wanted to watch the other day, and it's like, oh, yeah, I don't get this. So.
Yeah. But, speaking of things to watch, you can stick with the mothership like you always tend to and catch the 30 for 30 on Ric Flair. I saw that, I think on Sunday, they were showing commercials for it. Kind of surprised by that one.
Yes. Yeah, it's on tonight at 9 o'clock.
Wow, how great is my timing? So you're DVRing it. You're staying up.
I actually did set the DVR. Just to see. The problem is we've been having issues. I told you. I don't know if I told you. I said anything on air, but the cable box putzed out on Sunday. And then magically yesterday, it just started working again. So they are sending us a new one, which was supposed to come today, but no surprise, we didn't get it. Because after sending me a bunch of stuff, how deliveries go with my my apartment complex here. So but we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, I decided I would record it because there's no way in hell I'm staying up till 10 o'clock. I have to be at work by 2:45 tomorrow morning, so that's not happening. So yeah, I'm gonna record it and take it from there and see what it looks like. But yeah, I guess I don't know. I guess since he had the health scare, they decided to do a special on him.
I guess. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I guess he's been in. Presence on TV for the last, since the 70s. He's got a name. He's been, like I said, a big presence, but for a guy I kind of looked up to, met him, he was a complete jerk. So, and that's not me being a fan and, standing in line for an autograph with him being a jerk. That's me being behind the curtain with him and him being a total dick. So, I lost kind of that, I don't know what you would call it, they say guys like him have an aura, and I just, it completely went away after meeting him.
Yeah, well, don't they say never meet your heroes?
I guess it's a good thing I'll never run into Arnold. For the Rock.
Yeah, and the odd part is, I mean, I, you know, we've dealt with enough of these guys and all these other fun stuff. Sadly, the majority of them are, when it comes right down to it, jerks.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the thing I found funny, though, is the ones that I thought would be the biggest jerks were actually kind of cool.
Yeah. You know, and you know, it can be hit or miss just depending on, you know, who it ends up being, or, you know, certain situations. You know, I know there are a lot of guys who just don't talk. Like I introduced myself to one guy and he didn't say hello to me. He just shook my hand and walked away. So, you know, and then when he left, you know, we were all nice enough to say goodbye to him and he didn't speak to any of us. You know, he just shook hands and left.
Oh, you don't want to put him on blast?
No, you know, well, there's just been so many of them, you know, to kind of start trying to point them out, you know, one by one. I know, oddly, out of all the guys, it ended up being a huge contrast. One of the last places I worked, they brought in Demolition. And Smash came rolling in, and he had this fantastic personality, and he actually went around and introduced himself to everybody. You know,
wow.
he used his real name. Hey, you know, so, you know, I'm, you know, so and so, you know, nice to meet you. And, you know, oh, hey, you know, nice to meet you too. You know, he was a really cool guy. And then Axe showed up, and he couldn't have been a bigger jerk. So, you know, and then the odd thing with what happened with Axe is after the show, he had a big fit claiming everybody ripped him off because he couldn't find his watch or his cell phone. Well, as it turned out, he dropped his cell phone getting out of his rental car, and it was still sitting there, and he left his watch in his hotel room. Because when he called his wife, she said, yeah, it's sitting right here. You didn't take it. But yet after he, as you so kindly put it, put everybody on blast, there was no apology issued. He just left. You know, and I mean, he blatantly accused everybody in the locker room of ripping him off. And, you know,
wow.
Again, it turned out to be his own mistake. His cell phone was sitting, you could tell, you know, it was just one of those things he probably had in his pocket. He got out of the car, it fell out. Sitting right there, and then sure enough, when he found the cell phone, he called his hotel room, and his wife's like, yeah, it's sitting right here on the nightstand. You didn't put it on. And that was it. He got his gear, he got in his car, and he left. And it was just like, man, you couldn't have been a bigger jerk. But yeah, you know, the other guy who did, you know, his real name is Barry, he was super cool. You know, even after the show, he went around and said goodbye to everybody, thanked everybody for having them in, you know, and that was it. So it was just a huge contrast, and, you know, you wonder if it was always like that in their careers, you know, if they were, you know, he was always the cool one, and if the other one was always just kind of the jerk.
you've got to imagine how he always been like that. No one talks to him. Man, what's up with your partner? You know, but
you
the
know,
funny
I think
thing
I...
is no one even brings it up. They just ignore it. It's like, whatever.
Yeah. You know, and I think I mentioned the story here before. My, you know, back in high school, one of my best friend's fathers, when we had just gotten out of high school, his job was relocating him to Arizona, and they flew him out there to kind of get a look at what they were going to do first class. He sat down in his first class seat, and who's sitting next to him? Hulk Hogan. So, you know, he tried to be nice about it. He was really polite just talking to him. Hogan couldn't have been a bigger jerk. He you know, and he asked him very nicely if he would sign it for his son, because, you know, his son was a big wrestling fan. No, he wouldn't sign anything, wouldn't really talk to him about anything. He was just a complete ass the entire flight. You know, and this, of course, was when, you know, he was at the top of the, you know, he was at the top of the food chain there. You know, he was... you know, on his way to, you know, Hulkamania and all that stuff. You know, this was 86 or maybe 7. But it was just kind of like, man, you know, why, you know, why, you know, this guy buys tickets to see you, and you treat him like this. But, you know, I guess, you know, and then I had another friend who had the opposite with, of all guys, Jeff Hardy. He bumped into him at O'Hara. Hardy was catching a connecting flight, and he couldn't have been any nicer. He signed autographs with my buddy and his girlfriend and took pictures with him. So, you know, it just depends, I guess, which guy you run into or how big the guy's head is. So.
Yeah, well, I got to hang out with Superfly Snuka one night, and, you know, we hit it off.
Yeah, it was odd how much easier he was to understand as the night went on, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, after,
yeah, because when he first got there, I didn't understand a damn thing he was saying. So.
No, and then, you know, my manager, quote, in-ring manager, was his pretty much his bitch for the night. And, you know, he kept making him get
beers. Well, that was his job.
Yeah, he kept making him get beers for me and my cousin. That was pretty fun.
Any time we brought a guy in, that was his job. He picked that guy up, ran that guy around. And, like the funniest one was, I'm not sure if you were there yet. Were you there when we had when we brought Justin Credible in?
No.
Yeah, we brought him into the school because we knew it wouldn't be a huge draw. And it ended up selling out. We packed about 250, 300 people in there. He did real well for us. As a company, when you do this, guys, you know, you get him a nice hotel room and you take care of him. He never made it back to the hotel until your manager showed up to pick him up. He had just gotten back and was sitting in the lobby waiting for your guy to pick him up to take him to the airport. He stayed out all night. So the only thing that ended up spending a night in his hotel room was his bag, which your manager had to go get because Credible was in no shape to get up there and do it. I'm surprised they let him on the plane. He must have sobered up by the time they got to the airport. But, yeah, that was one of the funnier ones. And, I mean, he was a great guy. He was really cool, when he was working with us and stuff. But, yeah, they went out and tore up the town. Your manager didn't go, you know, that aforementioned gentleman. But a lot, you know, some of the other, I guess you would call office staff or however you would look at it, went with them. And, he really painted the town red. And, he showed up, your manager showed up about 8 o'clock to pick him up. And he was sitting in the lobby with his head in his hands. And the desk manager told me he'd only been there about 15 minutes. So.
Yeah, that's when, you know, working for that same company, my demise with that company started to go downhill because he was just crying all night, complaining because Jimmy wouldn't go home. He wanted to go home at 9 o'clock at night. You know, Jimmy was drinking. Jimmy was having a good time.
Yeah.
You know, so much so that we basically did a waltz and fell to the floor as I went to say goodbye to him.
Yeah, that was the thing. I mean, some of those guys, man, they wanted to go out and, you know, just rip the town up. I know when we had New Jack in, he dragged Frankie to, like, 4 different strip clubs.
Wow.
So.
Well, you know, the sad part was that some of these guys were so boring. Brian Christopher came in and, no one really knew who he was because they were used to the whole get-up, which, you know, my favorite part of it was, hey, Brian, you're going on. And he just basically took his shirt off, went out to the ring, had his match, came back to the curtain. I looked at him. He goes, you got my shirt? I threw it back at him, and then we went back to hanging out. He was waiting for his ride home, for his ride back to the hotel, and he's like, man, if I would have known, I was like, dude, if I would have known, I would have gave you a ride. He's like, oh, I got to go with these other jerks. And, you know, we were just joking around about it all night. And, you know, little did I know, if I would have just spoke up, we could have just took him home or took him out and had a blast.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, there's obviously a lot of, weird instances like that. It's just kind of who or how those guys, who or how those guys were. So, just laughed. That's the best way to do it. You just kind of chuckle and be like, "Hey, okay." So. Oh, what the heck did I do here? I must have hit the wrong button or something. So, oh well, just one of those things. But yeah, that was always fun. I was trying to think if we had any other really, really goofy or really odd setups like that, but I don't think we, there weren't too many. There was a humorous one. Like we had Lex Luger at one, and he wasn't wrestling, he was just making a special appearance. And his music was playing, and he was in the bathroom washing his hands. And it's like, dude, your music's playing. Yeah, I know, I'll get there. And it was just like, okay, you want to go? No, I'll make it, don't worry. So. It was just like, strange. So,
that's how some of them are.
yeah, it was just like, okay, what's, but it was, it was fun. It could have been a lot worse, I'm sure, and I'm sure for some people it was, but that's the enjoyment you get, right?
Got to hang out with a lot of the guys you grew up with. I guess my biggest claim to fame would be driving Jimmy the Hart around, and he bought us lunch, and he was the talent.
Oh, that was nice of him. Yeah, normally so, well, I remember, the first time we had Jerry Lynn in, he had your manager at the time, who was actually my manager at the time, drive him around to like four different Wendy's because they didn't have the kind of chicken sandwich.
That's awesome.
So,
He actually he was one of the guys I got along with really well, to the point where we did a tribute show for him, and I guess he remembered me a little bit. Plus, I was the only guy in the locker room. We didn't go, "Hey Jerry, remember when you did this? Remember when you did this? Oh my God, remember when you did this? I was there." I just was like, "Hey, how's your flight? How's work? How's the shoulder?" Because there, and I'm getting ready to leave the show. And he's like, "You're leaving already?" I'm like, "Yeah, I gotta go to work. I got another job." That was pretty cool.
Oh, all right. The music team, Dan and I, are gonna take off here, but we'll come back at 5:30 tomorrow to do it all again. You know what to do while we're away, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Look for that new blog tomorrow morning. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed. Good old at Sports Time Radio. So check that. Sign up for that. Follow that. You know the deal. Hunt Dan and I down on Twitter. We always have fun messing around over there. As always, it's a big thanks for listening live, but don't forget that the podcast is available now anytime you want to listen to it over at tunein.com.